Hello, friends. Today's guest says the dark horse of the New World Order was never communism, socialism, or fascism. It has always been technocracy. Started in the 1930s, reintroduced by the Trilateral Commission in 1973 as the New International Economic Order, technocrats have staged a sweeping coup d'etat in plain sight in Washington, D.C. during the Trump presidency. The dark enlightenment wants to turn us into a monarchy. Tokenization is flipping us into an asset-based economic system where you will own nothing. AI is shoving us into a digital gulag. Like it or not, you must face this beast either to destroy it or learn to live with it. Patrick Wood has been warning about this for years. It's time to pay attention. He's coming up next.
Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Friends, family in Christ, thank you so much for tuning in. There's a brand new book out, which we are going to talk about today, and that is by Patrick Wood. It's called The Final Betrayal. There's the cover. Two places you can get it, technocracy.news on his main website, technocracy.news, or it is also available on Amazon. So before we jump in, I want to mention, we're going to talk more about this in the weeks to come, but we have the website live and running up now. It's up and running, I should say, for the Worldview Matters Conference, and that website is worldviewmattersconference.com. That's worldviewmattersconference.com. We're diving into this, doing the first one, May 1st and 2nd, so we'll see how that goes, but you can get more info there and all the 12 speakers. So Patrick Wood, I want to mention an article on your website before I bring you in, brother. This is amazing, based on the list of the cuts. Trump cuts funding for climate change and 30 other UN agencies, and we'll maybe touch on that briefly. And then the other one we're going to talk about, you did a forecast for 2026, and there's so many, including the advancement of AI, which we'll talk about, which is also in Final Betrayal, and also something that's very important, and that would be the rise of state religion, which is one of the chapters in your book. Patrick Wood, welcome. Thank you for your time, brother.
My pleasure. Really good to be with you. We had such great conversations in the past. I'm sure this will be good as well.
Yeah, I think it's good because there's so much we could talk hours, but we've got to condense it, right, for the time limits. But so before we jump into your book, Final Betrayal, do you want to touch on anything in the cuts that Trump is making? Because I know you pointed out there's hundreds of millions of dollars that was going out from American taxpayers, and the IPCC, Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, is being cut, which is great news, which is a blow to the UN's 17 sustainable development goals. You mentioned that in there, too. Yeah. You want to just touch on this? This is good news. We don't agree with everything that they're doing, but some of these cuts are wonderful, and they should have been cut a long time ago. Go ahead.
We wish that the UN was not even in America in the first place. They should send them packing. They can find another building somewhere in the world, not here. Yeah. So, you know, we're done with them. And at this point, we're on the same side as the globalists at this point, who are kind of getting rid of or dismantling the connection between the UN and sustainable development, et cetera, with their agenda. Now, I'm not on the side of the globalists for sure, but nevertheless, these organizations have been such a thorn in my side, and other people feel the same way. It's just good to get rid of them, send them packing. They lose their jobs. That's just fine with me.
I mean, 30 other UN agencies. Friends, you're just going to have to look up this article at technocracy.news, because if you go down the list of some of these things that we apparently are or were funding, it'll make your blood boil, some of it, because you're thinking, oh my goodness, because most people don't keep up with all this. We had no idea where all of our tax money was going, and to find out some of the climate change or global warming garbage that was being funded, you know, it's really frustrating to the average American taxpayer, isn't it?
It really is. It really is, isn't it? Every one of these organizations has probably hundreds of people working for them. And it's like, what do they all do other than just stick the finger in our eye, bashing mankind as being the source of all our troubles? It's all your fault, you know. People are sick of it at this point. So, well, that was all made up in the first place. The whole agenda was made up before 1992 as a ruse to move the world into a resource-based economic system. Well, it's upon us at this point. There's no need now to have these people, sucking money out of the treasury. They can find other uses for it, like building data centers around the world or something like that. Operation, whatever it was, Stargate, I think it was called. So maybe they're just switching the money. Nevertheless, I'm glad to see these organizations bite the dust.
Amen, brother. Amen. So beginning of the year, and we're already zooming through January, you wrote a very brief article, Patrick Wood's 2026 Forecast. A lot of it we'll touch on when we talk about Final Betrayal in your book, but the war on free speech, we can touch on that. Also, we'll get to the rise of state religion. But let's start with the number one thing you put in that article, the advancement of AI. And maybe if you could also talk to us a little bit about Peter Thiel, because as I mentioned before we got on the podcast, that's a name that really kind of flies under the radar, being unfamiliar to most people.
He's basically the architect of what's going on right now in Washington, D.C., with these technocrats. I call them the arch technocrats of the world. They're mostly billionaires, and collectively they probably could buy the whole United States government. don't let them get together like that way. But Peter Thiel is, I think, the mastermind of lots of stuff that's going on today in Washington. He's the head, or he's a co-founder of Palantir. That's the most egregious surveillance software company in the world. It's a huge company now. And he and his partner, co-founder Alex Karp, together they sit on the Bilderberg Group Steering Committee. So you have two very important people from the same organization sitting on a global organization deciding who's going to meet to discuss things like AI and surveillance and intelligence and all that kind of stuff. So he's been in the shadows for sure. He's not, he doesn't want to run for public office, although he's launched people into politics, like J.D. Vance, for instance. He's one of his proteges. We have another one in Arizona. His name is Blake Masters. He ran for Senate a few years ago. So Peter Thiel is a strategist. He's a master strategist, and we see him behind so many things today in Washington. What's going on with this technocratic incursion, if you will, in Washington, D.C.
Okay, we'll keep our ears open for that name and his connections in the coming days, weeks, months. Lord willing, years, unless Jesus returns before that. Hey, got to ask you this straight off the top. On the front cover of your book, the subtitle, How Technocracy Destroyed America. Past tense. It's not how technocracy is destroying or is starting to affect. You said destroyed America. So talk to us a little bit about the usage of that word as a past tense, destroyed.
I'm a constitutionalist. That's in my bio. I say it frequently on air, and everybody knows that I appreciate the historic America that I came out of in the first place. That America's gone at this point. That America will never recover like we used to know it. At this point, with what these technocrats are doing to Washington and to our whole government, they're dismantling pieces of the government that will never be put back together again. And they're changing the way life will be in the future with surveillance, with digital cash, that sort of thing. They're changing so many things at this point. Even if they somewhere were exposed and run out of dodge, we would be left with a hubris that they've caused along the way. So we're not going to go back what we used to know. I wanted to say it's a brave new world. That would be inappropriate. But at this point, they've destroyed what we knew, what we know as America, Americana, if you will.
And that's sad and disappointing. But I guess if we back up and look at it from the way of man, the way of the world, sin, and the enemy and the spiritual warfare, I guess it's not surprising in that context when we put that lens on, right?
Yes, exactly.
So, Patrick, two of the things, topics I want to touch on, because you've got chapters in your book on these. One in particular is the rise of state religion. But before that, the war on free speech. We've seen hints of this over the decades, I think, when the internet came to be and more. Some of us that are Christian, conservative, putting out content on different platforms, we've seen censorship. But I think you're talking about it at a different level here when you bring in technocracy and government and surveillance. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Everybody had a sense that these technocrats and big tech especially were the source of the censorship that we saw during COVID. Mm-hmm. I expect you had some issues with that as well. I think. Yep. I certainly did. Well, the narrative has changed a little bit, but they're still in the business of mass censorship. And with the rise of AI, the game has changed now to persuading people on a one-on-one basis to change their views about the world. And they're able to, I think the phrase is, you have the speech, but not the reach. So in my case, for instance, Google has completely blacklisted me off their website. You can't search for technocracy on Google and find me on the first page. You won't find me until page 10 or something. So, wow. You know, I have the speak, but I don't have the reach.
Wow.
This going forward is going to be a big problem, and people aren't recognizing yet. They will. This has crushed my search engine traffic by over 90%. Yeah. So am I still speaking? I am.
Yes.
But I don't have nearly the traffic that I used to have on my website, because people found me through Google, as that's Google owns that search market, you know. So yeah, they're the Xerox of the search market.
Well, I think a lot of people that are maybe watching or listening can relate to that to some degree if they've been vocal about the biblical worldview or certain things that we talk about all the time and get censored for, particularly during COVID. I can sure relate to that. Facebook, YouTube, that's how certain other platforms got going, because they said, you know, people need an alternative platform. But even some of those now have been compromised. Yes. But let's talk about this a little bit more, because I think things have changed and will never be the same. You said something very interesting, that they're changing how people view the world. I think you put it that way.
Yes.
And look at the
yes.
title of our show, Worldview Matters, the biblical worldview. We need to have that as our foundation. Everything we see is through the lens of Scripture and the Bible. And what we're seeing right now is the media, public schools, the left, they're trying to change how people believe about certain things. Even lies are being promoted. But let's talk about what happened in light of Charlie Kirk and his assassination, because he was killed for his speech. And yes. we've been reading recently, I don't remember who did the poll, the survey, that 90% of college students, I believe, now interpret words as, if words are interpreted as violence, then it is justifiable to use violence to resist whatever. And so we're talking about the Christian faith. We're talking about the gospel. We're talking about Jesus being the only way, and what God teaches about creation, gender, marriage, family, the things we believe. Charlie Kirk was killed for that. So talk to us a little bit about that, and then we'll get into the rise of state religion.
Wow. Whatever Charlie Kirk was, there's not going to be another one, for sure. Nobody's taken his place at this point. I don't think anybody can take his place. He was very eloquent for certain things, and the college students loved him, by and large. Mm-hmm. But he's dead now. And what's happened in that whole movement, it's shifted away from his first focus, was basically talking about free speech. And now it's morphed into this quasi-religious organization. They're not religious per se, but they have a faith section of it.
Yeah.
But they're not explicitly Christian. Mm-hmm. But it's morphing into something that models after dominionism, reconstructionism, kingdom Tao people, and what's happened is these people are saying, well, we have to reform the world before Christ can return. This is total heresy that Christ is prevented by us not being good servants to reform the world. In other words, take over the world, clean it up, make it ready for Christ's return. This is heresy. But this is sweeping the youth movement, especially in America, mm-hmm. and all the other people who are involved with TPUSA, the surveys are off the chart now. How many people are falling for this Kingdom Now reconstruction, seven mountain mandate stuff? And my guess is it's over 75% of the evangelical church is believing this right now.
Wow.
In one form or another. This is stunning. This is just since, this has been a shift since his assassination.
How do you think this happened? And I know we could do probably three podcasts on that question, because we know we've talked about the NAR, we've talked about these theologies, but as far as TPUSA, Charlie Kirk never claimed to be a church or an explicitly Christian organization. It was a conservative, based on his Christian faith, he believed, but it was a conservative political movement, and he sure did make a great impact in getting out the vote in elections. But now, as you said, it's something very interesting. With all the new chapters and the new interest since his assassination, there's all these different, I don't know, yes. things that would concern one that wants to stick to sound doctrine and an evangelical Christian. Should we be concerned? How concerned should we be?
Yes.
Because they are trying to work toward getting
yes.
Christians or conservatives elected to government. That's a primary focus, but yet there is this religious aspect to it.
This is really sticky, for sure, talking about this to Christians, right?
Yeah.
But our mission on earth is not to reform the world. We should be salt and light. We should be ambassadors for Christ, all that kind of stuff. We
Amen.
Should oppose evil at every turn. We should be watchmen, calling things out, for sure. But there's no mandate for us to reform the world in that sense, to take over these various areas of society. In fact, this would be just horrible in one sense, because our mission is to get people to Christ in the first place. What Christ, though? What Christ are we talking about here? This has always been the question. So at this point, the eschatology of the church has changed all of a sudden. From a church who understood eminence, the doctrine of eminence, for instance, that Christ could return at any time, that's off the table anymore, because now Christ can't come, at least by 400 or 500 years, maybe 1,000 years from now. That means all of a sudden people aren't looking for the return of Christ.
Wow.
And also, interestingly, it's thrown Israel into the trash bin because Israel is no longer important to these people.
That makes
now
sense.
You see, this was predictable. I saw this immediately when I saw what was happening with TPUSA after Charlie's death.
Hmm.
I saw this immediately that there would be a mass entrance of anti-Semitism in America, and it's happened. You can see there's signs of it all over the place at this point.
So let me ask you that, because if I remember right, and I haven't heard every speech and every cyber video mm-hmm. that Charlie Kirk put out when he was with us, didn't he speak out strongly against anti-Semitism?
He did. Yes, he did.
So you're saying, indirectly, you're saying, so the people that are now in charge are not gatekeepers of these, like I know Tucker Carlson spoke at the recent
yes,
event.
Did.
Yeah, and others. It's a head scratcher. I understand politically and from a conservative aspect what they're trying to do, but yes, it does send a confusing message, I think.
It does. And the fact that anti-Semitism is rising in America, especially these people who are accepting this doctrine, they didn't vote for it for sure, but they just morphed into it. When people adopt this attitude of anti-Semitism, all of a sudden they're in the same mental camp as the Islamists.
Jeez.
Of the world. Think about this for just a minute. This is serious. The church in America is siding now with the Islamic jihadists.
Wow.
Around the world.
Wow. Yeah.
So look, the devil is very clever about how he sets traps for people.
Amen.
Maybe Charlie never saw this. Maybe his wife didn't see it. Maybe nobody sees it. But the devil is very clever how he sets these traps for humanity.
Hmm.
The church has been set up, for sure, to fall into this trap, and they're biting the thing hard at this point, yeah. And it's going to be for their destruction. Anybody who wants to stick their finger in God's eye, this is not a good thing.
Hmm.
This is not where a Christian needs to be, for sure.
Yeah, we talk an awful lot about the sad biblical illiteracy, not of America, but in the church
yes.
today. And
yes.
boy, we've got to stay strong on God's word, friends. But I want to, one more thing before we wrap it up. It's going by very fast with you, Patrick. First of all, again, friends, we're talking about the book, The Final Betrayal. It is at technocracy.news or on Amazon. One chapter that's very interesting. Chapter 9, explain briefly scientific dictatorship. Explain that.
This was what a scientific dictatorship looks like is a society that's run by scientists and engineers in simple terms. In other words, a society without political discourse. That means politics for people can't figure out what I'm saying here. With no politicians necessary, no political discourse necessary, no discussion necessary. We have the science. We'll tell you what that science is. Now you obey.
Well, you know what? When you first said that, Anthony Fauci was the first person that came to mind.
Exactly. That's exactly what he said. This is scientism on steroids, and it results in a scientific dictatorship. Look, when science is elevated as a god, which it is at this point, even people in Silicon Valley are talking about it as a god. When science is elevated as a god, you have to have the priesthood serve that master, if you will, or that god. The priesthood is the one that comes down to us mortals on planet Earth that don't have the PhDs, and they'll tell us what to do based on what they see, what they heard from the oracle.
Mm.
This has been an age old plan going. I mean, think of the Incas in South America, for instance, that they worshiped the volcano, and the volcano told them you have to throw 10 virgins at midnight or something on January 15th, and they would do it. Well, this is the same kind of a con today, where science is elevated as a god. The scientists now become the priesthood. Maybe the high priest, maybe for a while, it might have been Anthony Fauci. Who knows? But this is the attitude we see. It's not a good one either.
No, I mean, we've just seen the pride, especially. And it, what was fascinating, I think, not to go back to COVID again, but that was such a learning curve, I think, for the church. We saw how many people, even pastors, that went into that, okay, yeah, I guess I am non-essential. The church is non-essential now. Listen to government, listen to health and science, the experts, right? And people just lost all, you know, common sense. Just like, wait a minute, they're telling me what to do for my health. And yeah, it was a very dangerous time. And I don't think we've moved beyond that. I don't think we've learned our lesson from that. And
how many churches have expired since then? How many churches have gone out of business altogether?
That's sad. So sad.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it is.
To be continued. But yeah, that comes back to the subtitle of your book, right? Technocracy, how technocracy destroyed America. Well, Lord, God's got us here right now.
Absolutely.
I don't think we could have handled our great grandparents' day, maybe with the great, you know, recession or depression, and they couldn't have handled our day, maybe with AI and the internet and everything else. But here we are, and our purpose doesn't change. And that's my encouragement to those who are watching and listening. And like you said earlier, we are ambassadors for Christ. We need to be better ambassadors. We need to be salt and light. But yet we are still waiting for that Savior, our blessed hope. We are not going to change the world to get it ready for Jesus to come back. That's deception right there. That's just amazing that people fall for that. But Patrick, just your final thoughts in just around a minute.
Get the book. The book's available on Amazon. The audiobook is there, 3.5 hours. You can get through the whole book. You can get the Kindle version and get the paperback version as well. And all I can say, if you don't read and understand, if you don't want to, some people just don't want to understand at all. I understand that. I don't want to know it sometimes either. But you have to get in the swim of it. And the way to do it is to read our book at this point.
Yeah. So, Patrick, I don't want to put you on the spot, but did you voice your book or did AI do it?
No, I did. Not personally, but I have a professional voice artist do it for me. I love this woman.
Good.
She did a
good
great job.
So it wasn't AI. Thank God.
No.
That's funny. Anyway, brother, thanks for your time. Technocracy.news. We'll do this again, brother. Thanks.
God bless.
Friends, thank you so very much for your support and prayers. God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.